give Teddy a big hand clap. Thank you. Yes, welcome once again to our Bible study using the book Financial Prosperity. Today, the key things that we are going to talk about, I had Mark praying about or for them as he prayed. Maybe he always prays them, but today I had him pray them, and I thought that was interesting. He prayed about, you know, God commanding a blessing, okay, in our works, anyhow, whatever he said. But there was something about commanding a blessing, and then he talked about something to do with the path God has ordained for us. What was that? Yeah, to walk in the path God has ordained for us. And those two things are the main things that God wants us to hear today. Amen? Glory be to God. So today's topic is entitled, I Will Bless the Works of Your Hands. All right? Yeah, I will bless the works of your hands. The teaching for today is taken from chapter 4 of the book. Chapter 4, which is entitled, No Work, No Food. Okay? Work is one of the key things that everyone must do if they are going to live a prosperous life. Amen? I've not said that work is what we're supposed to do so that we can earn the same amount, so that we can live, the same lives, all right? Okay? Remember, prosperity does not mean... prosperity has to do with contentment, okay? At whatever place God has placed you, or with whatever amount of blessings God has given you. All right? And for that matter, people have to avoid comparing themselves one with another. All right? Otherwise, dissatisfaction will cause the enemy to mess you up. All right? Grumbling, complaining. Okay, that is one of the reasons why the children of Israel did not enter the promised land. Okay, grumbling, complaining. They had food, okay, manna from heaven, okay, and they were like, we don't want this anymore. Can you imagine? Guys were prosperous. Okay, they were not even digging. You understand? Every morning there was food. Okay. On the sixth day, they even had twice as much. So there was a day when they even didn't have to go out to collect the food. Okay? And they grumbled. So we have Christians, today. God has given them all that they need. And for most of them, it's coming on a silver plate. Okay? Then after a year, after 2 months, they start grumbling. All right? But we shouldn't do that. Anyway, I will bless the works of your hands. Okay? We're taking that from chapter 4, which is entitled, No Work, No Food. All right? Number one, we have to know that work is profitable. All right? Some of the things I'm going to say today are not for you who are seated here, but for those others who will listen to this message in future. All right? So if I say some things and I seem like, you know, I'm rebuking you, understand that I'm not what? I'm not necessarily speaking to you, but for people who listen to this. All right? So, work is profitable. That is the first thing God wants us to remember. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15. It says that 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will surely rejoice. Alright? So, there is a verse, God saying, okay, that I'll bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands. Okay? So, Christians need to work. Eh? Alright? If they are going to live a prosperous life, if their needs are going to be met. Alright? Christians need to do what? Need to work. Eh? Alright? There are Christians who think they're not supposed to work. All right, God gives them work, and they refuse to do it. And they are broke, they are suffering financially, okay, because they rejected the work God had given them to do. All right, sometimes they reject it, probably because they despise it. It is too little, eh? This is too small for me, eh? Okay? Sometimes they reject it because they think there is something else for them. True, there might be something else, okay? But at that moment, there's nothing else. You understand, eh? At that moment, okay, that which they're rejecting is what they're supposed to do. At that moment, there's nothing else for them. That something else might come in the future, but at that moment, that's what God wants them to do. And so they reject it, all right, and they suffer financially. Okay? All right? And you see, this is one of the areas where like old Christians, Christians who have been around for some time, this is where they come in handy, okay, to advise people who are refusing to work, okay? God has given them something to do, and they refuse to do it because they think it is too small, okay, or something else is coming, I won't do that. Okay, yet that's what God had what given them to do for that moment. Eh? Okay? They reject it and then they suffer financially. And then they think it's the devil in their case. Alright? When it's not the devil. Alright? It's not the devil. Okay? Sometimes they think it is a trial from God. Eh? Yeah, a trial. Okay? Yet it's not God. God is not trying them in any way. Okay? They have just rejected the will of God. Now, the old Christians, this is where, like I said, they come in handy, okay, to speak to these people and tell them, you know what? You know, I have seen these things in church over the years I've been around. Young men, young women refusing to work. Okay? And so, you know, you advise them, you're like, you know, please, do this, otherwise you're going to suffer for nothing. Okay? So God says in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15, I will bless the works of your hands. Glory be to God. Okay? Sam and Lydia, the topic today is entitled, I'll bless the work of your hands. Okay? Prosperity cannot come if we are not working. All right? some guy was telling me on Sunday that he has a friend of his, a young man, who had a job up country. Up country, had a job. Then the young man decided what? To throw out the job. I think either he wanted to be around Zoe all the time, Zoe in Kampala. So he chucked his job. Okay, because God is, you know, he has to be part of this. God, you know, eh? But, so this young man was telling me that every time he meets this guy, he's always asking him for a 2K, a 2,000. The guy threw out what? His job. And God didn't tell him. But I'm sure he will tell you that God will tell. Now, sometimes God tells people to do that. Eh? But for such things, eh, you should be very careful. Eh? You understand? Eh? You remember we learned in the final quest? Always inquire of me before making major decisions. Glory be to God. Okay, so work is profitable. Hallelujah. Okay. Lydia, isn't that true? Work is what? I've had some people who are, a friend of mine, a lady, who came to me once that what? She wants to leave her job, what? Because, you know, children, you know, and paying her, it was good money, but not so much. Eh? Okay, now for those things, for me, I'm not a sharp what? Man of God at hearing from God concerning those things of people what? Leave your job. So I told her, you know what? Go and talk to your husband. Eh? Okay, and agree with your husband on what to do. Okay? Those things are not sharp, eh? At what? Okay? Yeah, but I don't know whether they talked with the husband, okay, but it's been like 2 years now, and she's still at her job. Glory be to God. Okay? I remember in Zoe, long time ago, some girl, Stella, remember Stella? Who was in LAT? Yeah. She came to me after I had preached in Zoe, and she told me, now this job in NSSF, I want to, you know, leave it, what? Okay? Yeah, what do you have to say? I told her, you start here. Okay? All right? Now, if I'm wrong, God will tell us through someone else, all right, or through a dream. But I'm not the one to tell people to what? Those things, I'm not an expert. All right. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. All right. In all labor, there is profit. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. All right? All right? Christians want to prosper. They have to work. Eh? What kind of work? Now that is something else. Eh? They need to go and find out from God what kind of work they should do. Okay? All right? When Joanne left her job, her 8-to-5 job, okay, God gave the work God gave her was to what? To take care of her kids and her house. I don't know whether that included washing the car. All right? All right? Now, somehow, if she does that, okay, somehow, okay, God will what? Will take care of her needs. Do you understand, eh? So again, I'm not saying work means 9-to-5. But somehow, everyone must be found doing, everyone must be found working. Working that which God wants them to work. You understand? Eh? All right? And it says, in all labor, there is profit. All right? And now this is where at times we all do it, I guess. Eh? Okay? Because sometimes we don't know whether someone has just refused to work. That's why they are what? In trouble. But sometimes we don't help some people. Especially you guys who like giving, eh? giving to the needy. All right? Okay? Someone has refused to work. And then you what? You're giving them money. Yet God is like, please don't give them money. Monde kele. You understand? Eh? Yeah, I'm giving them a good spanking. You know, as a father, eh? He chastises, eh? He disciplines. He's like, I'm giving them a good spanking for having refused to work. Okay, and then here you are. Generous, you become their father. You're taking care of all their needs. You understand? So in a sense, you don't help God. Eh? And you don't help that what? Person. But of course, we do it with a good heart because we don't know really, whether Bambi, things are just bad or they refuse to work. You understand? Eh? All right? But anyway, in all labor, there is profit. Okay? And God said, I will bless the work of your hands. All right? Yes. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 10. Let's hear from the Master, the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, verse 7. Jesus is sending out the disciples to heal, to do the work of the ministry. And he tells them that, basically he's saying that when you find a house and someone like calls you to stay in that house, eh? In verse 7 he says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his what? Of his wages. Okay? Who is worthy of his wages? The laborer. Okay? The person who works. Okay? Someone who has refused to work is not worthy of wages. You can't even say he's not worthy of his wages. The wages are not his. So, someone who has refused to labor, okay, that person is not worthy of wages. Hallelujah. Unless they are in America, the welfare state, you're not working, you just fill in a form, okay, and they will give you some money every month. All right? In the kingdom of God, that doesn't exist. The laborer is worthy of his wages. So if these guys, if the disciples had refused to work, to go in the mission field, all right, to go and preach the gospel, heal the sick, do all those things, okay, there were no wages. The wages Jesus was going to give them, the wages were in the field. The wages were not with Jesus. Okay? If some guy said, no, Jesus, for me, I can't leave you. I can't leave you to go to what? I'm staying with you. Jesus was like, okay, you stay with me, but you're not going to eat. Your food is in the field, some widow's house. All right? The laborer is what? Worthy of his wages. Glory be to God. Okay, now, as a pastor, okay, pastoring is my job. Hallelujah. The times when I don't want to work. Okay, now that work entails praying, and it entails spending time with the Lord. Okay, praying, worshiping, reading the Bible, listening to the Bible. But at times when I don't want to do those things, man. Okay? But then I have to remind myself, what? That this is my work. If I don't work, there's no food. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There's some people who think that, what? Pastors and prophetesses, that they don't work. The guy, he didn't work. Just remains home, he's not working. Who told you? Anyway, so you see, the times I don't want to work, man. There are some other things I want to do. Not evil things, just either chilling, But I have to remind myself that, man, I have to work. A laborer, only laborers get wages. Hallelujah. But I'm also like you. There are times when I don't work. Just like you, there are times you go to your office and you just kabozi what up to what 10. You enter the office 8 and you jazz until what 11. Even me, there are those moments when man. But I think sometimes I think that 8 to 11, when you're just talking, sending emails, will probably. Probably God didn't want you to really work. Eh? He knows you're tired. You understand? He knows, yeah, you just chill. You just sit at the office. And you understand? Yeah. But you can't do that every day. Eh? You understand? You can't do that every day. 365 days a week. Okay? Now, number two. So, number one, work is profitable. Christians should work. All right? Number two, your calling is your work. Okay, that's very important. Eh? Okay? The best work you'll ever do is the work for which you were born. Glory be to God. Okay? I have not said that it will always get you the most amount of money. I haven't said that. Eh? You can be completely out of the will of God, and you're earning the most in the country. But when you're completely off, and one day you will regret, yet you can be in the perfect will of God, teaching nursery school kids. Those people don't earn a lot of money. Okay? But a good number of them are in the perfect will of God, teaching those young ones. God's taking care of God's children, those babies. Okay? But they are earning 300,000. But they are in the perfect will of God. Again, you cannot. Again, the other thing that I always say, someone has to come and give a true definition of what prosperity is. Someone is in the perfect will of God teaching kids. There is no school, nursery school in Uganda, which pays 10 million shillings to nursery school teachers. Okay? So you cannot say teaching nursery school kids equals poverty. You can't say that. You see, and these are things which somehow, because we don't have a clear definition of what prosperity is, so the things we tell Christians what prosperity is, they basically appeal to greed. And people get out of God's will for their lives. We are here for a short time. So you get out of God's will for your life. You're supposed to look after God's children, babies. You get out of God's will for your life and you're there doing an MBA, okay? And you go, you get a job, 15 million what? With shillings, you're supposed to take care of kids. You know, in a short while, this dispensation is coming to an end. In a short while, okay, you die and you go to heaven. And they tell you, man, you missed it. You missed it while you were earning 15 million shillings. But at 300,000 shillings, God was going to take care of you somehow. Somehow. All right? You might not, you know, take a holiday to Toronto, but you'll be prosperous somehow. But you can also, God might get you a holiday in Toronto somehow. Do you understand? All right? But you might not. However, God will take care of your needs. Glory be to God. Either you marry some rich guy who earns, you know, three times more than you, 1M, okay? And so with that money now you have a house, you're renting, you know, transit to school is provided for. Maybe he even gives you a house near school, And you're prosperous at your level, you know. Total family income, 1.3. And that family, the needs are what? Met. Hallelujah. Anyway, your calling is your work. Your calling is what? Your work. So what people need to do, okay? Teddy, you're very young, okay? It is only with Judith who's younger than you here. So the earlier you get the things, the better. I'm telling you, the earlier you do that, the better. There's some of us, you can see, gray hair, no, I shaved what? Which would there. Okay, now you, the earlier you get the things, the better. But sometimes it is so hard for young what? You're there, what, your friend got a job in the UN, you know? And the earlier you find out God's will for your life, okay, the better, man, and you embark on it. Okay? Page 48. Let's open our book. Page 48. Page 48, paragraph 4. Basically, the last paragraph. Yeah, I wrote and I said that the most profitable work and that which will bring you the greatest joy is that which you were created to do. Please hear me well, for if you do, just this one simple realignment of your life could solve all your financial hardships. Glory be to God. This one thing, people embarking on what they were born to do. Or what they were, or what they're supposed to do in a particular season of their lives. That one thing can sort them out completely. Okay? People who pray for others, like Joan, you pray for people, they don't have jobs, they are struggling financially, you know? Okay? One of the things anyone who prays for people or anyone who counsels people, I think we should, you should get the gift or the word of knowledge. You understand? Because sometimes you can pray for things, and God is there looking at you from heaven, just seeing two people wasting their time. One person wasting the other's time. You're praying someone for financial increase. God is like, it ain't coming. It is not coming. That one, I told them to do this and they refused. And they decided to do their own things. Do you understand? Now you're there praying. Okay, then you're in touch. You call for updates. How are things? There are things we prayed for. Do you understand? Okay. God is like, it ain't going to happen. That one is not doing what they were born to do. And especially seeing that the time is nigh. Eh? Jesus is coming back soon. You know, eh? Even, okay, if you say not, we're coming back soon. But however, you are going to meet him soon, eh? Because you're dying soon. Yeah? You might be dying in the next 40 years. That is soon. Glory be to God. If it is not soon, it is soon. I remember I was in P2 recently. I'm telling you, recently, P2. Now remember infants, you know? P2 recently. Glory be to God. Okay? Recently, now decades have come. You know, recently, I remember. That's why I tell you guys about stories from SMAC. Because I was in SMAC recently. Recently. Okay? You see, I want what? I'm being tempted to do a diversion, eh? And I start talking about the coming of the Lord. Okay? But maybe we shall do that, but let's first finish this. So, your calling is your work. Okay? For those of you who came late, Hillary, Sylvia, basically we're saying the topic today is, I will bless the works of your hands. Eh? Okay? Taken from chapter 4. Eh? Chapter 4 entitled, No Work, No Food. Okay? So, the first point we have addressed is work is profitable. The Lord said, I'll bless the works of your hands. Proverbs 14:23 says that all work is profitable. Okay? Luke 10 verse 7, Jesus said, a laborer is worthy of his wages. Someone who's not laboring does not receive wages. All right? So now, point two, your work is your calling. Jeremiah chapter 1. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You all know this scripture. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay? Before Jeremiah was conceived in his mother's womb, okay, before he was brought forth, eh, okay, he had a calling. He had work he was supposed to do when he comes into the earth. Okay? Now, the principle there for us is, you know, all of us, before we were born, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, God knew us, okay? And he had work for us, okay, when he brings us into the world, into the earth, okay? And that is the greatest work you'll ever do, okay? And when you're doing that work, okay, the profit, the wages are assured. When you're doing some other things, wages are not what? Assured. You understand? Okay? Glory be to God. Okay? Teddy, when she comes, you know, we give her some what? Transport. Okay? Little money. I even don't want to what? Mention it. But if these guys can increase their giving, okay? Okay? So anyway, when she comes on Wednesday, she's assured of transport back home. Assured. All right? However, if she decides to go somewhere else on Wednesday, to do something somewhere else on Wednesday, okay? She's not assured. Do you understand? Of course, I'm trying to, you know, to make you uncomfortable. But, you know, but I'm making a point, Okay? If you do what you are born to do, the wages are assured. Do you understand? All right? If you do other things, the wages are not what? Assured. Okay? They might come, they might not come. All right? And even if they come constantly, one day, you're going to regret. Okay? When you meet the Lord, face to face, like, what did you do? And you're like, hey, I did. He said, is that what I told you to do? Do you understand? Okay? But while we're here on earth, we have this assurance that as we're doing what God wants us to do, okay, in a particular season, okay, wages are what? Are assured. Glory be to God. Jeremiah, okay, he went through things as he was speaking, things which people didn't want to hear. He was thrown in dungeons, imprisoned. Okay, but the Lord took care of him. Joseph, in prison, in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, the Lord took, the Bible says he was a prosperous man. Okay, he was in the perfect field of God as a slave. Glory be to God. And later, okay, he was increased. Psalms 139, verse 16. Teddy, you're very young. Man, the earlier you get these things, the earlier you do that. The earlier you do that, the better. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes, Lord, this person, he's talking to God. He says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written. The what? The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. All right? And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me. Okay? Everyone has a book or books in heaven, okay, which contain the perfect will of God for them, for each day. And somehow you can get to see what is in those books. Those books are not supposed to be a secret to you. Okay, my books are not supposed to be a secret to me because they are mine. Do you understand? Okay? So when I seek the Lord to find out his will for my life, what I'm supposed to do, okay, God reveals what is in those books. Somehow, either in dreams, in visions, in a prophecy, or just by, he puts a desire, in my heart, in your heart, okay, a desire of that which is written for you to accomplish. Glory be to God, okay? And when you do, okay, when you walk, okay, in accordance with how your days were, fashioned, okay, the wages are assured. Glory be to God. They might not be as much as someone else's wages, all right? But the wages are what? Assured. Glory be to God. All right? Now, like as a church, like LAT, as long as we are doing what we are supposed to be doing now, not what we're supposed to be doing 2 years from now. Okay? What we're supposed to be doing now, the wages are what? Assured, including rent and paying for sound, assured. You start moving and you start doing things you're supposed to do 4 years from now, you're in trouble. 4 years from now, God wants you to be in a large building. And you take there yourself now, you're going to get in trouble. Because you're trying to compare yourself, what? With some guys you saw on TV. Okay? With the other preacher you started with. That guy has his books. Okay? Books which have things that are written about him, things which he's supposed to do. You also have your books. Stick to your books. Don't stick to Sam's books. Alright? Don't try copy-paste. You get in unnecessary trouble. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10. Okay? Because we're supposed to imitate Christ, isn't it? So let us see. Let us take the example of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Paul says that therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, you, my Father, God, you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Okay? They say, I have come to do your will, O God. Even Jesus, okay, there was a book, okay, in which his life, the thing he was supposed to accomplish, okay, these things were written. There was a book also for Jesus. And there's a book for you. Okay? So he says, I have come to do your will. I haven't come to play games. Eh? All right? I haven't come to see what is in other people's books. Okay? So that I can find out if their things are prettier. Eh? And then I say, oh God, the other one, no, it's not bad. I love you so much. Eh? Let me do the prettier things. You see, this is what happens. Sometimes we have good intentions. Eh? Okay? God gives us something to do. But we're like, God, I want to do for you something better, like Teddy. Okay? So I'm not going to do this one, because I love you so much, Father. I want to do for you something more prettier, eh? And you embark on Teddy's what? Work, and you get in trouble. Do you understand? Eh? Now, Jesus didn't do that. He says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, and I've come to do your will, O God, that which is written of me. Me, not what is written of someone else. Okay? Verse 8, okay? Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Okay? By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay? So what was written of him? Okay? What had he come to do? What was the body for? Okay? It is here, in verse 10. Eh? Okay? The body, okay? His body was to be offered for our sins. Eh? Okay? Okay? It says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay? So his mission was to offer his body. Okay? So that, you know, was to offer his body as an offering so that whoever believes in him will be sanctified. Eh? Okay? Set apart as holy and to the Lord. That was his mission. That's why he had a body. You understand? Eh? Because you remember I said, a body you have prepared for me. Okay? And that body was going to be given as an offering unto the Lord. That's what he came to do. And when he finished doing it, he left. He went. Mission accomplished. Glory be to God. Alright? And we need to imitate the Lord. Let us find out what we're supposed to do. Okay? Rachel is in the perfect will of God. Eh? Alright? Married to Mark. No. Those are yours, but as far as work is concerned. Okay? I remember years ago when I called and I was like, hey, you know the church, we need an administrator. Okay? But I can give you a story of Rachel, how she became an administrator. Okay? She would feel embarrassed. Rich, I think, had attended LHT like 3 times. You know, Carol Second, I think, is the one who brought her. Then she attended once, and I don't know what happened. But for some reason, I called Carol. I was like, give me that girl's number. That girl, I called her to VCC. Can you imagine? I was praying. Then I told her, I told Carol, tell her to find me at VCC. I even didn't know. I remember one time she was offended that I had forgotten her name. But why would I remember it when you had only attended church 2 times in 4 months? It's something like that. And so I called her. Now, that time, someone had given me money. Was it $100? How much was it? Yeah? $200. And someone had given me what? Money. So I thought about this girl, and I think I knew she wasn't working. Okay, so this girl had been attended early 20 twice. So then I told Carol, call her, tell her in VCC, let her come. And so she comes, I give her $200. I was like, I want you to go and what? Change this money for me into Ugandan currency. Okay. Then then I told her, bring me back this amount, and the rest is yours. She was in shock. Okay? How some guy can just call you, even they know your name, and say, now, the work I'm giving you, get on choose the sentence, Then on that last night, I was telling you. And so, then one time, I think, I took you out for lunch like twice. Mark, you should thank me. Because I'm the one who kept her in LHT. Okay? And then one time, so I took her for lunch. Java, before she became an administrator, we were friends. The moment she became an administrator, things changed. But those days when she was just a stranger in LHT, we were buddies. We went out for lunch like twice. And one time, I was at Good African. The first time, actually, I think we all talked. Good African, I think I was there waiting for Elvis. Then I saw this girl. So I called her. I was like, hey, come, I think she was waiting for someone. I said, you sit. She sat, I was like, now, order for me, And so we talked. The person who she wanted to meet, I think, even was dodging her. And that time, I think I didn't come with my car. So when I got ready to leave, I was like, hey, where are you going? Why did you stay? You can give here. Let's drive. So anyway, she drives me. So as we drove, we jazzed. Okay? We can't be which Rachel now can't give me. Okay? We jazzed, Then I think her car, what happened? Then I told her to listen to Walmart, to grow in the Lord, and encourage her to read the Bible. We parted by, I gave her money to buy data to download, Andrew Womack messages. I think your car was in red that time also. Anyway, one time after Java's, after Java's, I remember after we parted, I was like, wait a minute. This girl, she told me she's doing what? A master, anyway, something to do with administration. I was like, she can help us with admin stuff. Then I gave her a call. Either I text or something like that. Anyway, to cut a long story short, as she was thinking about it, she received a prophecy from a friend of ours, who was, I don't know if she still is, prophetic, telling her of some work which she should do, some opportunity which she would take up, because At a certain point, that work, this thing is going to become big. This is 2014, I think. This thing is going to become big. Okay? And that was the confirmation, edit. Okay, that this thing one day is going to what? 94 years. Anyway, but I was trying to show you, she's in the perfect will of God. Glory be to God. Okay? And all of us should be like that. Okay? All right? Okay? Flora, the topic today is basically work. Christians should work. What work? That is another thing. Okay? There are Christians who don't work. Refuse to work. They think money is going to what? Rain down from heaven or going to come on trees. All right? Okay? Joanne had a job, 8 to 5. Okay? And the Lord told her to leave it. And the Lord gave her another job. Okay? To take care of her children, to mop the house, and to wash the car. Her car, their car. Okay? She's in the perfect will of God. So I'm not saying work means what others are doing. But just make sure what you're doing is what the Lord wants you to do. That is work. And if you're doing that, okay, Jesus said, Luke chapter 10 verse 7, a laborer is worthy of his wages. Okay? Then later, God added some more work in LAT. Okay? And she should believe God, okay, to give her wages for that work. Okay? The God who gave it to you. Hallelujah. So, I'm sure all of us, okay? All of us, we have met people or we have ever been in that the situation where we refused to work, okay? Or we rejected the work God had given us so that we can do something that is prettier for the Lord. And you ended in trouble. You've met guys, young ladies, you know, young guys who have refused to work because they want to spend time with the Lord, you know. And they get in trouble, okay? Prosperity comes with work. I will bless the works of your hands, the Lord said. All right? Now, the greatest work to do is the work for which you are born to do. This is very important. It is not just any kind of work, but that which you are born to do. And as you're doing that, the wages are assured. Okay? And I emphasize that the wages, I didn't say that the wages are going to be the same as your friend's wages. You understand? But your wages, okay, are going to be what? They're assured. If you're doing what the Lord would want you to do at a particular point in life, at a, you know, in a particular season of your life. Okay? So we have seen the example of Jesus. Okay? He did the will of God. Offered himself as a sacrifice, an offering. Okay? For the salvation of man. Okay? Now, number three. Okay? In addition to working, okay, if you have agreed to work, of course you're all doing something, okay? Now, yeah, you have agreed to work, okay, but it is not enough to just work, all right? You should work hard. Glory be to God. You can call it working smart. I guess you should work smart and hard. Do you understand? All right? Okay? But the Bible talks more about working hard. So that's what we shall what? Put an emphasis. Okay, work hard. We shouldn't be lazy. Okay? I've told you guys, there are times when I don't want to work. My work entails spending time with the Lord, praying, worshiping, studying. Sometimes I don't want to do that. I'm lazy. You know, Yes, I could. At times you don't want to work. Even me, at times I don't want to work, but I have to somehow encourage myself. All right. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. Do you know what a prowler is? I looked it up a few minutes to 6 p.m. A prowler is a person who moves stealthily about or loiters near a place with a view to committing a crime. That's how poverty will come upon you. Okay? Poverty and your need will come upon you like an armed man. You will be overtaken by poverty, by need. Okay? Okay, now, I've told you my work, okay, as a pastor, I'm in full-time what? Ministry. It entails basically praying, okay, more than what's for you, you would do, because for you, you have to be, you know, you have 8 to 5, you understand, So for me, one of the things it entails is praying, okay, more than you, okay, not more than Joanne, but more than Sam. So, and usually it's better to start praying, you know, early in the morning. You understand? Usually it's better that way, you know. But I tell you that I don't want to wake up. Okay? Now, let me, I'm not, now today, I woke up at, I think it was 4:52. Okay? Now, usually I wake up in the night and I pray with an audio Bible. There's a project I'm doing. I always have projects. This Christian life, you have to make it interesting. I always have projects. So, last month I began a project to listen to the audio Bible from Genesis to Revelation as I pray in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So I began in September, 23rd September. I finished it audio as I'm praying the Holy Ghost, you know, a month later. So I was doing, I endeavored to do 4 hours a day. Okay? Which you can't do because for you understand? But sometimes, of course, you even don't hear what you know. Your mind wanders, but you're like, then you come back, but you're like, I'll do it. Do you understand? So I finished. Okay, then on, so I finished on 23rd a month. Then, I'm like, I'm going to do 3 times, before the year ends. So I embarked on another one, I think, starting 25th. Okay, this month, Okay. And I'm doing 4 hours a day, you understand, And so, when I began to do it, I was like, it's better to do 2 hours in the night and 2 hours in the day, because if you don't do in the night, in the day, man, it can be what? Other things come up, you even get tired, it is too hot, you know. So like 2 in the night, okay? Whatever time I wake up in the night, if I wake up at 2, I wake up, I do 2 to 4, then I go back, I sleep, then maybe after I drop the kids, 8 to 10, you do it. So I would wake up in the night. Now, at a certain point, Abigail, my girl, would wake up and then she would come and disturb me. I think she would hear the thing ringing. And so today I was like, today I'm going to get out of it. So I woke up, I checked it on the clock, 4:52. Okay, so I got out of the house. I was like, let me go, sit in the car. Then 5 minutes in the car, it begins raining, man. And then you're like, you can feel how wonderful it would be if you are in bed. A little sleep. You see, your work, you suffer, onyokuwa ngo sava, ngo read the Bible. Getting the word in you. You understand? Kachosazewo, a little sleep. A little slumber. A little holding of the hands to sleep. And God is like, it's going to affect your wages. Because as a shepherd, you're supposed to be feeding the sheep. And that's what I pay you for. Kacholimu kwebaka. How are you going to get the pasture to feed the sheep? Ngolimu kwebaka. Because it's raining. You know, So I was like, I'm not going back. Then you even see how you can make up that time in the day. But I can go back. I sleep. I can make it up in the, So anyway, you see, it's not easy at times, or more often than not. But somehow, if you know this verse, it will help you. Glory be to God. Laziness, basically. There's another proverb which illustrates someone who wants to sleep. It says that, a lazy man, it's like the returning on his bed is like, what? Like a hinge, You know that proverb? And you can really see when you're turning on the bed. You're a real door. Meanwhile, talking about this verse, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Many years ago, not many, I think it was 2014 or 2013, I had a dream where somewhere with some people, some guys, some I knew, some I didn't, But among those I knew, there was a gentleman, Emma Barlow, Jack Barlow's boy, you know him? Emma Barlow. So now we're in this place, And then, I'm the thugs, some thugs, man, came and kidnapped and hijacked him. And they sure took him. For some reason, when I woke up, I immediately knew that the interpretation is this. Now, I'm not saying every time you dream someone being hijacked by thugs, it is this. But for that dream, and in those days, I was a bit acquainted with him, So I remember I told, Elvis say, dream and what and the what it meant. Say, so good to tell me, man, some guy has been what? A poverty, he has whatever on him like a prowler. And his need like an armed what? An armed man. You know Emma, All right? Poverty is hard work. Hard work. Smart work. Working smart, working hard. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Glory be to God. The reason why some pastors are poor, some pastors are in need, is because they are always sleeping. They begin to pray. When it starts to rain, they go back to bed. Anyway, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Pastors, even them, in order for their needs to be supplied, they must work. They must do the work of a shepherd well. Glory be to God. They must go out and get pasture for the sheep. If they don't do that, bali mukulaba movies, bali ku Facebook, Those things are good, but that is not their work. Okay, those things are just for entertainment, you know. Leisure. Leisure is of God. All right? Okay? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Okay? But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. You say it's fat, eh? KJV. So, being fat is not a bad thing. Okay? According to KJV. Glory be to God. Okay? So, God will bless the works of our hands. Okay? All work is profitable. Especially the work for which you are born to do. However, as you're doing that work, do it diligently. Don't be lazy. All right? If you feel lazy, and we all feel lazy at times or most times, okay, ask the Lord to help you. Okay? As we shall see. Okay? All right? Second Thessalonians, verse 3, 10 to 12. For even when we were with you, Paul says, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busy bodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they walk in quietness and eat their own bread. Okay? Not other people's what? Bread. Eat their own what? Bread. Because if they don't work, no food. Hallelujah. This is not America. Warfare, you know. Okay, this is the kingdom. All right? The reason why some children of God are malnourished is because they are not working. All right? Children of God, a rich father. And God is like, yeah. But they refuse to work. There's some of you who grew up in bad families. But some of us, at times, man, when you wouldn't work, there will be no food. No food, man. Now, my family, for us, things weren't that bad. But now we had neighbors. Man, the other woman, she was tough, man. Kids wouldn't eat at all, no games, if they don't work. And now, we are so messed up that these days, we even pay the kids. If they do some work, we pay them. I know that stupidity we've gotten from America, from whatever. A kid is staying in the house, supposed to contribute, you understand, work, and now you're paying them. You understand? That's ridiculous. Maybe there's a scripture for it. I don't know. The way I see Sam is going to start paying kids to work. Oh, he has already started. Pay? Sure. Maybe there's a fast. I don't know. I have to listen to experts in these things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do it heartily. Okay? Samo mutima, you know? Samo mutima, sayo mutima. My mother, you know, would tell me. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, some interesting thoughts. There's a book I read, and it had some interesting thoughts about work and laziness. Okay? The first thought, statement says, work hard or live hard. Okay, so you choose. You either work hard or live hard. Some people think working hard is living hard. Okay, work hard or live hard. As a pastor, you had better work hard or live hard. Okay, calling church members to bail you out. That's very bad for a pastor, to start what? Calling church members to what? Fuel what? You know, it's just very bad. It even looks bad on the Lord. There's a guy, a pastor, who used to give me those phone calls. Okay? And then because I was a bit close to him, I knew why he was what? Doing those things. The girl was ever watching movies. He knows all those movie stars. Okay. I don't think that guy used to pray. Cause Kati, the grace of God. You know, it was finished on the cross. He paid the price. Now you're praying. You're paying the price for the anointing. But Jesus paid the price, the grace of God. Those are the things you were saying. You know? One time some people were telling him to go, let's organize and we go for a retreat and we seek the Lord. He's like, seek the Lord for what? Where is he? Where has he gone? He's with me. God is Jesus. Now, no wonder those what? Stupid phone calls. Okay? Where did those things, that story, come from? Okay? Yes, work hard or what? Live hard. That's one. Number two, this one is interesting. Laziness is so slow that even poverty overtakes it. Laziness is so slow that even poverty overtakes it. You know what that means? Basically, laziness, you know, poverty is assured. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, lastly, number four. Okay? You need to be empowered by God. Okay? You can't work hard. Okay? With human strength. You understand? That is just, you know, toiling, laboring under a curse. Okay? Okay? Whatever work God has given us to do, okay, there is an anointing for it. Do you understand? An empowerment from God. Do you understand? If you do things without the anointing, without God energizing you, man, it's horrible. You understand? Okay? So whatever work God has given you to do, okay? Sometimes he automatically gives you the empowerment, what we call the anointing for it, okay? But oftentimes you have to go and ask him for that empowerment, okay? Every now and again, God would want us to go and say, Father, help me. And sometimes, I'm not saying doing 40 days or going to the prayer mountain for a week, okay? Asking for that empowerment, okay? Usually, it is as simple as, Father, you know, bless the works of my hands. Give me the strength. I thank you for the anointing you give me, okay, to serve you, okay, in that which you have called me to do. Okay? Usually, we forget to ask for that empowerment. Okay? And there are times when God deliberately doesn't offer it until we ask for it. You know what I mean? Eh? Okay. And if we ask for it, he will give it to us. And it will make working hard, not really hard. You know what I mean? Eh? Okay. Work, yeah, it will be anyway. Okay. Whatever we do, we should do it under the anointing. I'm not talking about preaching only. Any work that you do for the Lord, eh? Okay? Any work that you're born to do, any work God wants you to do in a particular season, there is an anointing for it. Glory be to God. Okay? Flora, at the CDC, eh? The work you're doing there, eh? Okay? There's no, you don't go to open the Bible, eh? You understand? However, that's what God has given you to do, and he wants you to what? He wants to empower you, eh? To do it, eh? All right? Okay? And we see examples in the Bible, eh? Where God did that, eh? Okay? In Exodus chapter 36, okay? Verse 1, there are these two guys, eh? Who God empowered, eh? Okay? Gifted, eh? With the ability, okay, to make stuff for the tabernacle. Okay, it says in verse 1, and Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service or the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Eh? Okay, anyway, the point is God, you know, empowered these guys to do his work. Okay? Maybe the best scripture we can use, since we're talking about prosperity, is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Glory be to God. God gives you what? Power to get wealth. Okay? He energizes you. He gives you what it takes. He gives you the strength, eh, to work, to make wealth. Glory be to God. Okay? So if he takes power to get wealth, okay, then God would want you to go and ask him for that power, eh, for the enablement. Glory be to God. Okay? Some, you can pray for yourself, eh? For power to get wealth, eh? You can pray for your employees, eh? You understand? For God to bless all those people with the anointing to do that work which they are doing. And the Lord will give them that strength. Hallelujah. Okay? It makes things easier. You understand? Eh? This, the power of God makes things much easier to accomplish, eh? Okay? The wisdom he gives, the insight, the connections, the favor. Okay? So what we have to do always is ask him, okay, for that empowerment. Okay? You remember even the preachers, in the before Jesus left, he told them that, you know, tarry in Jerusalem. Okay, stay there, okay, until you are endued with power from on high. Okay? Then he told them, you know, you shall receive power, okay, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses when? After you have received power. After you have received my enablement, my strength. Okay? That was for preachers, but it is also for every one of us, eh, with whatever work God has what? Given us. Okay? Paul said that by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So Paul said it was the grace of God, okay, that enabled me to work more abundantly than the rest of the apostles. Hallelujah. Amen? So you can labor more abundantly, okay, than your peers, okay, by the grace of God, by the empowerment of God. Hallelujah. Okay? All right? Now, there's a thing which I think is very important today, okay, how we can receive the empowerment of God, the anointing of God, to enable us to work so we can prosper, so we can profit. Okay? This is what you would call your priest speaking a blessing over you. Okay? Priest in quotes. Okay? We are New Testament believers, so we're all priests. Okay? But for lack of a better way to put it, anyway, a spiritual leader over you. Okay? Your spiritual leader. Okay? That's one of the ways to get empowered by God to do the work which you have to do. Okay? When that spiritual leader, okay, speaks a blessing over you. Glory be to God. Deuteronomy, rather Numbers, chapter 6. Okay? Chapter 6, from verse 22. Okay, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron." Okay? You remember, Aaron, this is the family or the priesthood. "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them," okay, "the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Glory be to God. Okay? So God is saying, or was saying, that when the priests, okay, would speak these good words, okay, over the children of Israel, then the Lord will work on those words, okay, and bless his people. Glory be to God. Amen. This is why at the end of any meeting that we have, either a service on Sunday, on Wednesday, a Bible study, prayer, meeting, okay, when we are closing, and any leader, either me or Joanne, okay, that so-called closing prayer, okay, people should stop looking at it just as a closing prayer. Tumaliliza, we are finished, okay? If you understand that actually what is being pronounced over you is a blessing, okay, you take it very seriously. You understand? Because here you see in Numbers, the Lord says, okay, if the priests speak these words over these people, then I will bless the people. That means, okay, that means if the priests don't speak those words, okay, don't proclaim those blessings over them, God is like, there's nothing to work with. Do you understand? I remember, now, that is why I endeavor, I try my best every Sunday at least. I try my best, if I'm there, I try my best that I say, like in a sense, the final prayer. You understand? And you know, I speak wisdom, I speak that things will go well for people in the week. Okay? I'm not doing that. It is not a closing prayer, in a sense. You understand? And I'm not doing it because that's how things are done, you know, religiously. I, for one, I do it with understanding. In fact, in the early days of LAT, those first like 1 month or two, okay, a couple of times I didn't do it, okay, And then the Lord one time told me that, please, remember to do this. Remember to speak a blessing over my children. Okay? And he referred me to this. He said, because when you speak that, then I will bless them. Glory be to God. Amen? All right? Okay? And I had some guy on TV, some Jewish rabbi, who is a believer in the Lord. They are called Messianic Jews. Okay? I heard him say that, demonstrate how the priest would, whatever, their hands and how they would speak a blessing. And then he said that actually, that is exactly what Jesus did in Luke chapter 24. Okay? Luke 24, from verse 50. He says that is essentially what Jesus did before he left his disciples. Okay? Now, as a high priest, as their priest, okay, Melchizedek priesthood, before he left, he did exactly what Aaron and his sons, okay, used to do for Israel. Jesus did it, okay, for his disciples. Okay, verse 50 says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Apparently, Jesus did exactly what the priests used to do. Okay? These are the advantages of having some messianic rabbis listen to. They give you some insights which a Gentile preacher didn't have. Because see, this is not... Jesus did basically Numbers 6, 22 and 24. Alright? So he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Blessing, the word blessing means to say good words. Okay? Exactly what Numbers 6 says. Good words. Okay? So here, he just says bless them. He lifted his hands. He didn't just lift his hands and, okay? He spoke over them. Okay? Then in verse 51, now it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's the last thing he did as their priest. He blessed them. Glory be to God. Amen. So the Lord shall bless the works of your hands. Make sure you work hard. Okay. Make sure you discover what you're supposed to be doing now and do it. And ask the Lord to empower you to do it. Glory be to God. Okay? As steady comes, so that we can worship the Lord in a song or two as we end, let me speak this blessing over you in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. All right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.